breakfast. We're going to have fun, food, fellowship. There's a door prize drawing that you'll really love this week. And I just want to encourage you to come, though, because of the teaching and how we grow by grace and how we learn from the Lord, but we also learn from one another. And we're better together. You encourage others to come. Your presence really makes a difference. And we've got more Man of God bracelets out there. I'm sorry, some of you have such big wrists. These don't fit, and I haven't been able to find any bigger yet. But we've given out like 600 of these. Now we've got 200 more. And this is a wonderful way for you to invite others to come and share in this time of Man of God meetings. Now, there's an $8 donation for breakfast, but if, again, $8 is a problem for you, don't worry. You come. We'll share together. And thank you for some that add to that so that we're able to meet all those needs. But again, these are at the information booth. You can pick them up. Men, I need you to sign up today, though. At the information booth, or fill that out in your bulletin and drop it off at the information booth. You can fill it out, put it right on your connection sheet that you'll be there for the men's meeting, and we'll know to prepare for you. And I asked T.D. Jakes if he would stop by and just give you a little bit of encouragement, because I really believe that the Lord wants to take us to a new level. There's a lot of things that we see that's wrong in the world today, a lot of problems that are there, a lot of things that bring you down. And the Spirit of God would like to raise you up as men that make a difference, that you really have clear vision. So I asked him if he could stop by for just a couple of minutes, and he said, I only got about 2 minutes, but I'll stop by and hear what he has to say. But he's going to be here Saturday to really bless your heart. So let's listen to TD.
Number three is the eagle, known for how high it flies. It operates in another level, on another dimension. It's time for you to go higher. You can't deal with that kind of weight that low. You can't deal with that kind of issue that low. It's time for you to fly in another dimension and go to another level. You can't fight a spiritual battle with fleshly equipment. You got to get up in the spirit and go up to the high place. And that's why the Lord brought you down to the potter's house, so that he could take you up to a higher place. Touch your brother and say, I got to go higher. I may have to leave you. I may have to leave you because I got to go higher. I don't know whether you want to go up or not, but in order to do what God's called me to do, I've got to go. But my fascination with the eagle is not its height alone. What brought me to this eagle is its vision. The reason the eagle can fly so high is because it can see so far. And it can get a mile away from the prey in the air. And its vision is so keen that it can see a mile away and then swoop down and go after what it sees. And the Lord sent me here to tell you that if you can see it, you can be it.
Amen.
This is a meeting for men with vision. So if you came in here with spiritual glaucoma, you got to get rid of it right now, because this is the time for you to get a fresh vision of your circumstance and your situation and take it to the next level. Somebody give God a praise.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. This is fresh fire, too. This came from their conference that they just concluded in the last couple of weeks. And men, I just believe with all my heart that God is going to raise up men that know and understand the times we live in and really make a difference. Not just hype, but a real hope that we have by the grace of God. So plan to be there 8 o'clock and bring somebody with you. Don't come alone. And get some of those bracelets and use that for an opportunity to invite others to come and encourage them to be a man of God. I want to share with you this morning about the problem with problems. Now, has anybody here got any problems? At least one or two people. I want to make sure I'm in the right crowd. Yeah. And you got problems. How many of you got your problem figured out? Now, how many of you are working on the problem and you kind of forgot that there might be a solution. I think sometimes we get so focused on the problem, we have no energy at all to focus on the solution. That's the condition of our nation today. We're so focused on who to blame, and as long as you play the blame game, you never have to change. We find out who to blame, but we don't know how to change in a way that will make a difference. And the Bible says we're changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to tell you, in these moments we're together this morning, God has something to say by His Spirit that will bring change in our life. When we gather together Saturday, men, I believe with all my heart, you'll leave at a level that you'll never be able to go back and be contained where you were before because of what God will pour forth of His Spirit. God wants to raise us up with not some kind of holy hype, but the real hope and the strength and the courage of the Spirit of God that can be lived out. See, God didn't come just to fix us up. He didn't come to be our helper. He came to live in us. We live and move and breathe and have our being in Him. He wants to live through us. So I believe the Spirit of God will help us today to understand about our problems, and especially as we come to this table, we see that every solution can be found around this table. If we remember Him, we'll find out there's a solution to every situation. There's never been a problem that He couldn't solve them. And we want to believe for that grace to be here today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to be reflecting on verse 5 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul speaking to us. And I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul, he's a professional when it comes to problems. He had more problems. He spent more time in prison than out of prison once he became a Christian. Because everybody was trying to shut him up and keep him quiet about Jesus Christ. But I'm so thankful that he understood that problems are something that can pronounce the good news of the gospel in a stronger way than anything else. Problems can become your pulpit through which you can speak to the world and let them know there's a different power, that it's not by might nor power of man, but by the Spirit of God, that you can respond to problems in life and you can face them in a different way. Oh, I promise you, you'll have them, but God will help you and He'll strengthen you and guide you in all of that. We look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, and the Apostle Paul said, "For we were come into Macedonia, and our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side, without were fightings, and within was fear." Verse 10, "For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." Lord, we speak life in Jesus' name. Amen, church. That we understand godly sorrow so that we can understand ongoingly that all the pressures, all the pressure and problems and things that we suffer in this life can bring forth greater life. That we can be able to see God's goodness and grace. Now, some problems seem insurmountable, but that's where we come to the end of ourselves and we have to understand what God can do. I heard about someone who faced an insurmountable problem, and this was five people that were on a plane that was about to crash. And as they're in the plane and the plane's going down, they realize there's no hope. They get ready. They're going to bail out. They're going to jump. But they find out they got a crisis. They got a problem because they only got four parachutes, but they got five people. Would you say that's a problem? All right. Well, the first man jumped up and said, "I'm the president. I have to get a parachute." So they gave him a parachute. Being the president, he has to be there for all the people. And so he grabbed a parachute and jumped out. The second man jumped up and he said, "I'm the world's smartest man. I've invented everything. I got global warming under control." He's got everything figured out. And he grabs a parachute and he jumps out. The third man, he jumps up and says, "I'm the greatest scientist on the face of the earth. You got to give me one or science will not be able to be furthered." So they gave him one. Now all we got left is a priest and a little 10-year-old Boy Scout. And that priest, he's an older man. He's older than I am. He's an older man. He's an older man, and he looks at this 10-year-old boy, and there's just one parachute left. And he says to that 10-year-old boy, he said, "I'm an older man. I've pretty well lived out my life. I'll go ahead and go down with the plane. Son, you take the last parachute, and I'll go down with the plane." And the little Boy Scout said, "Oh, you don't have to do that." And he said, "Well, why not?" He said, "You know, the world's smartest man, he jumped out with my backpack." Now, I want to say this. No matter how intelligent you are, you need wisdom. Amen? Now, please hear this. That comes from the Word of God. Wisdom comes from the Word. See, God will insult your intelligence to speak true wisdom to your life. Now, please, God gave you a good brain. Use it. He said to renew your mind, don't remove it. But an understanding of renewing your mind by the Word of God, so we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And see, every single one of us are either being conformed to this world or we're being transformed and changed by the Word of God. And I pray that becomes so alive in our lives. You know, we live in a world where there's so much truth decay. And I've said this to you so many times, but I don't ever want you to forget it. You're the proof of the truth that God is real today. It's not enough that we even say we'll do 40 days in the Word. It's 40 days of the Word getting in us. Emmanuel, God with us, the Word becoming flesh, that we begin to live it out, that God can work that in a very real way, and that this Bible becomes our GPS, our God positioning system in everything that we face in life, that we can begin to walk as it is in the book of Psalms, where it says, this Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But I have to tell you this, the brighter the light, the more our defects show up. Have you ever gone to a restaurant that really looked good? You went there in an evening and you thought, man, this is such a nice atmosphere. And you were there and had a meal and you thought, this is really neat. But then you went back in the daytime and you looked around when the lights are on, they're bright and everything. And it's a pretty crummy place. It's just the lights were so low before you couldn't see it. Can I tell you, God wants to up the lights where we see the defects, not that we feel bad, but that we can see what he wants to deliver us from so what we can become glorifies him. He wants us to be able to see those things that hinder us from the fullness of what he wants us to have in this life. So I pray that in every way we can understand that. I believe with all my heart that we're at a point of transition in our nation. It's not about the end of time, but it's the end of a time. Things will never be the same in America again. Things will never be the same in the world again. We're in a time of change and there's going to be no going back. And that's not gloom and doom. The hope in the midst of all of that is people like you that know and love Jesus Christ. He's never changed his mind. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we need to understand, too, of how the Holy Spirit will let that strong light come as it was with Isaiah of old, where he looked at a time of transition where King Uriah was dead, a time of transition for a whole nation. And it says he looked up, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And as he saw the glory of the Lord, and he saw that bright light of the love of the Lord. He looked in him, he looked up, and then he looked in. And when he looked in, he said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Suddenly he saw defects in himself that he never saw before, but he had a greater revelation of God than ever before. And at that moment, the Lord sends forth an angelic being with a red hot coal from the altar of heaven, touches his lips, and then he says, who shall I send? And Isaiah said, Lord, send me. He becomes the greatest prophet that could ever be. I believe with all my heart God's going to give revelation beyond our reasoning, and he's going to raise up men and women that suddenly see God like they've never seen before, that they suddenly look inside and see what's wrong, make it right, and get on with what God really wants to do in their heart and in their life. We're here for him, and it's only when he's glorified that we'll ever be satisfied. I believe the Holy Spirit of God could raise up young men and women. He can raise up grandpas and grandmas that really get a heart and a burden, a revelation of who God is. And if we're not so focused on the problem, we suddenly realize there is a solution. You see, many times we think we've solved the problem when we find out who to blame. We think we've solved something when we know where to point the finger. But God wants us to understand it's when we come to him that we find out what can be done and what he can do. And then it's not by might nor power of man ever. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in people just like you and I. And listen, our spirit is always willing, but our flesh is weak. Your flesh didn't want to get out of bed this morning, did it? Did anybody have a second thought about coming to church today? Don't raise your hand. Just say, thank God I made it. We shall overcome. And you did. I'm so glad you're here. There's some folks this morning were holy rollers. They had a holy thought rolled over and they're still in bed. I'm glad you're here and that we can hear the word of the Lord together and come to this table and celebrate God's life and love. Amen, church? And I want us to be awakened to that. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, I want to say this. If you really want to find out how you're doing in your love and life with the Lord, It's how we live it out with one another. That's the real test. In the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it tells us there, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of the Lamb cleanses us from all sin. You see, we have to understand the real test of the truth is how we live out life and love with one another. God's got a perfect record. You and I, we go through a lot of faults and failures and stumbling. Listen, none of us are what we want to be. One day we will be. When we see him, we'll be like him. But in the meantime, we're going through a process. And God's with us, and he's going to help us in the mix of all of that. But we have problems that we have to face as we go through these times. And we have to experience God's goodness. God's goodness and grace will help us to face whatever we have to. When I talk to you about having home groups or small groups or what we're doing with Rick Warren, it's to get us into the Word. But see, that's with fellowship with one another. You won't open your home if you want to entertain people. It's too much work. And if you don't love people, you'll just be hurrying. You want people to hurry up and leave so you can be yourself again. Some people go to church on Sunday, but they can't wait to leave because then I can just be myself again. I want you to know in Jesus' name, this is you. The real you. The real world is here when we worship the Lord, when we listen to the Word of God. Everything else you face in life, you need to take the strength of this to that, because God wants us to be able to be light in a dark world. Amen? Please know that. Because so many times people say, oh, it's just wonderful in church, but then I have to go out and face the real world. No, this is the real world. And you're going to go out and you're going to face the temporal with the eternal and see what God can do. The Apostle Paul, I want to tell you, he's got problems all around him. Have you ever had a time like he says, there was no place to rest? Everywhere I went, there's a problem. I couldn't find rest anywhere. We're troubled on every side. There's fightings out here. There's fear in here. Anybody experience that at least once in life? I mean, it's out here, it's in here, it's all over. Remember, fear is false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. You need to know how to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the love of God that casts out fear, and see what God's grace will do. Mankind is so fearful about the future right now. We're fearful about the economy, the relationships, flooding, fire, earthquakes, all kinds of things that are going on right now. But we have to understand the good news is the gospel. Every time you read the Word of God, you're reading good news. And you can understand that grace and that power and anointing that's upon the Word of God. This is a God-breathed book. It's like when you read the Word of God, it's like God breathing in you. And he'll give you a fresh breath. If you've had the wind knocked all of you and you're laying there and you don't know what to do, get into the Word. Well, Pastor, I do that. I don't get near as excited as you do. Well, listen, I don't either. Sometimes I'm about as spiritual as an old shoe. And I don't know what to do. But Jesus always come to you.
Amen?
And I never just come to read the Word. I come to read to the Word. He is the Word. He's my way. He is the Word. I always want my goal to be that I arrive where God is and where he wants me to be. If we understand that, God can do something wonderful in us. We can hear the good news of the gospel. You see, we can begin to see the grace of God that will guide us and direct us. And we can begin to see how the problems will decrease. You know, sometimes I've spent my time telling God how great my problem was. I just, God, you don't, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but the Lord. And it's like we're in big trouble. Listen, if he knows, we're in pretty good shape. Amen? Yeah, because it's, folks, if he knows, and by the way, he says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. He says, you have not because you ask not. Ask the Lord. Get it out. Well, he already knows. Yeah, but he wants you to get it out. He wants you to know. He wants those words to come out of your mouth. And by the time they get to your own ear, they pass by his throne, and he will do something real with them. God wants us to understand that. See, if you have small plans for God to work in your life, then you'll have smaller problems. But those smaller problems will absolutely swallow you. When you got great plans, you'll come, and you won't declare, oh, God, my problem is so great. You'll declare to those problems, my God is so great. My God is greater than this problem. Now, if that's just hype, forget it. But if you're basing it on what God has said, and he said it, I believe it, That settles it. Then you got something real. It goes beyond what you feel. It goes to a faith that will function in your life. It doesn't happen right away. I wish I could wave my Bible like a magic wand and make it all happen. But God wants more than just to work in your circumstances. He's working in your character. He's working in my character. What you are when you're alone is the real you. And that's how you'll stand before him one day when you give an account for this life. May we understand our problems are really just something that can press us close to what God wants in our life. The Apostle Paul talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Listen, if you're going to do something for God, it's a fight. You're going to fight this old flesh first. That's why you have to present this body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But it's a fight worth well worth fighting. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Please make that personal when you read that. I've overcome your world. I've overcome your problem. Well, Lord, I've still got it, but has it got you? See, that's the deal. Well, you may still have the problem, but has the problem got you? You're in real trouble if the problem's got you, because you won't be able to see beyond the problem. God wants to raise us up. He wants to give us fresh a view of what he can do. And I pray, Holy Spirit, make that alive in our hearts today so that we can come and that we can face the challenges and problems. One of the biggest things is we live in denial. We don't face up to those things we fear. We try to ignore them, and they just grow. God, by his grace, wants us to know that we can face up to any problem, and he can solve them. It's our response to a problem that really allows us to overcome, though. We have to respond properly. 90% is what the problem is all about there, but it's that 10% of how you respond, of what you do with that, that makes all the difference. Listen, we lost our AAA credit in America, but I want to tell you, with Jesus, you haven't lost it. You're still accepted, anointed, and appointed by the Spirit of God as a son or daughter who can overcome. You still got good credit there. Amen? Because it's all charged to his account. And Jesus Christ wants you to understand that. Tough times will either trash you or train you. Trash you or train you. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Read about Joseph. Joseph is a favorite son one day, and in the same day, he goes from favorite son with a many-colored coat from his father to a slave, sold into slavery by his own family, his own brothers. In that time, he had a choice. And you'll find out he had to make that choice every day. For 13 years, he had to make that choice of whether this would trash him or train him. And I can tell you, it trained him. How do you know that? Because he found favor in the sight of the Lord. He found favor with the Pharaoh. He found favor even when he was in prison. Everywhere he went, there was favor because he refused to let the circumstances and the problems of life trash him. He still knew who his God was. He had favor with God, and he didn't forget who he was as a son of God either. And that's important for us. Again, sometimes you'll go through some suffering that's long and drawn out, but I promise you, God's at work. He's always at work in the dark, and he'll bring things to the light. But we have to make those choices, whether we'll be a victim or a victor in these circumstances. And that has to be the work of the Spirit of the living God within our hearts and within our lives. We have to make those choices about attitude. I tell you, I believe more and more in attitude than I do ability. Because if you got the right attitude, you can learn anything. You got the wrong attitude, you can't learn anything. You can't teach anything. If you're open and teachable, then you're reachable and God can do something with you. I want to be like Caleb of old. Now, he was 80 years old when he said that, and I'm not this old, or I'm not that old, I should say. But I'm getting older. By the way, thank you for all your prayers for me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your prayers. I hit a little bump physically, but I'm back. And, you know, probably for a while I'll preach sermons a little shorter. I wanted to see if you were there. Yeah, you don't believe that, do you? Unbelief just filled the room. I want to be like Caleb of old. When you're 80 years old and you're getting, now I'm not that old, it's more like Don Dawson, but when Don and I are about the same age, so we know what at least to get it in that bracket headed toward there. But can I tell you something? Caleb at 80 years old, For 40 years, he spent in the wilderness, not because of a choice he made, but because the other men made a choice. We can't take the land. There's too many things there. We can't go in and possess the promised land. There's giants in the land. We can't do it. And he and Caleb said, or Caleb and Joshua said, we can go in and take the land. No problem. God's been with us in all this. But because of the choice of others, he ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. But he never let the wilderness get in him. And so after 40 years, that was contingent on someone else's choice, he's standing there and he says, give me my mountain. I'm as strong now as I ever was. I'm ready to take that mountain. And he goes in and possesses. Listen, he didn't get bitter. He got better. He let God work something in him. And I want to tell you, even when you're at the opposite end of someone else's choices and the consequences are not there because of what you've done, but what somebody else did, I promise you that the power of the Spirit of God wants to touch you, lift you, and love you, and help you, and to protect you so that when you come out, you come strong by the Spirit of the Lord. God wants to bless you in that way. Listen, the things that we go through, the problems we go through, they can challenge us or they can control us. It's our choice. They can stretch us or they can stop us. It's our choice. And God wants us to know the power and the might of what he'll do by his Spirit if we refuse to lay down, stay down, but we get up, rise up, and see what he can do by the power of his Spirit. The Bible tells us that the righteous are afflicted, but he delivers them. The righteous are afflicted, but he delivers them out of all of their affliction. He says the righteous fall down 7 times, but they keep getting back up again. How many of you have ever had one of those when you were a kid? One of the little bop bags, you know, kind of looked like a car, and you punch the thing and down it go, but it get right back up, and you punch it again and again and again. I want to tell you what, sometimes you may feel like that, but I believe the Holy Spirit of God will help you just as he did the Apostle Paul. I can't find a place of rest. Every time I turn around, something's hit me. I seem to be surrounded by all these problems. But in the mix of that, he understands the power of God's love. I think of our nation, the condition of our nation. And I think of another time when our nation was in such critical situations, and yet over in Wales, a little boy, 12 years old, he starts praying every day. His name is Robert Evans, and he starts praying every day. He's 12 years old, working 12 hours a day in a coal mine. And he keeps praying and praying while everybody else is cussing and swearing. He gets off by himself and prays. After 13 years of that, God uses him from one of the greatest worldwide revivals that have ever been. Listen, I say this in the name of the Lord. There's going to be young people that rise up. There's going to be young people that suddenly get their hearts on fire. They're going to see what their life is all about. And they're going to be ignited by the power of the Spirit of God to where they're not just hearing all the problems that's coming in the next generation. They're going to be ready to rise up and make a difference as a generation, a God generation, that really understands the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God to do something in them and through them. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. You know, when the whole army of Israel was all dressed up and no place to go, they were so afraid of Goliath, one man standing out there 12 feet tall, and he would put them down every day. And every day they felt bad about the fact that he was not only putting them down, but putting down their God, mocking their God. And they saw him as too big to kill. Here comes little David off the backside of the desert. He's a teenager. And his brother says, well, who do you think you are? Get back there with your sheep. Who's taking care of your sheep? And they tried to put him down. He didn't let that happen. And he looked at Goliath. He didn't see him as too big to kill. He saw him as too big to miss. And there's something about the fact that I want you to know there's a target out there now. It's too big to miss. Amen? There's too much darkness out there. You're light that can penetrate that darkness. And God wants to make that so real in our heart. And the Holy Spirit so wants to awaken us. There's big problems out there, but God can solve them. You know, some people say, one person said to me today, I'm just so deep in debt. And I think of, who was it, Johnny Cash? Another day older and deeper in debt. There's an old Southern saying that says this. If you're in a hole, stop digging. Amen? If you're in debt, stop spending. Get a little hope from Dave Ramsey. he's been raised up as a man of God that teaches stewardship principles according to the Word of God. You can get help and hope in that arena. And listen, we live in a culture that doesn't understand that about stewardship. And God has all of that. He has a solution for us, not just a problem. The problem is not national debt. We need to be able to come as a nation under God again and see what he can do and help us and bless us and raise us up again to be a people that know his love. The Bible says no weapon formed against you will ever prosper, but you will, because you have favor with the Father. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. I love that word all. And then we read in the scriptures too, in Psalms 118, and this is a thing I can identify with. It says, though all the world attack me, surround me, attack me like bees, like a flame of fire against me, I will march on under the banner of my God. Listen, it doesn't matter. How many of you have ever been attacked by bees? At least a couple of you. You know what that is. You get moving, and there's a lot of action that happens right then. There's another scripture, and I call this, this is in Psalms 118, but I call this John 118, because it's the one I pray for John Hewen all the time. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of our Lord. Problems are not permanent, folks, but God is, and so are you. And God wants to come and move in your heart. He wants to help you be able to see what you can go through. And we can find out that even though we fall down, we can get right back up again. We're going to spend 90% of our time on the solution, 10% figuring out the problem. And we're not going to play the blame game, but let the grace of God grip our heart. Let him do something real in our hearts and lives. Listen, how we suffer is an option. How we suffer is an option. Suffering is not an option. We follow a suffering Savior. It says about Jesus, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Suffering is part of what we go through. But you'll find this, if you follow through and you do it God's way, it'll bring life. You do it the world's way, it'll bring death. That's why godly sorrow works repentance. Everything else works death. Everything will die out in life that you really want. And God wants us to be connected in such a way that we can see that life, that grace. And know this, that you're connected to Christ and you're going to pay a price more and more to be a Christian. You really are. I saw a cartoon. And it was two bears. And this is during bear hunting season. And two bears are standing there looking at one another. And the one bear, as he's standing there, he's got this huge circle right here and another circle. And then one right there. And it's just a huge bullseye right on him. And the other bear looks at him and says, bummer of a birthmark. Are you with me? It's a bummer of a birthmark. Okay, are you with me? Can I tell you something? We've got a birthmark that Satan hates because he can't do anything with it. You and I have a birthmark of the love of God. We have a birthmark of God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That birthmark is something that's on you that no demon of hell can touch. He can't stop. He can't control. That's why he wants to get you so focused on problems. Because if you ever understand that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, if you get a hold of how powerful that love really is, that no demon of darkness can dispel what God desires to do in your life once you know that love. Once that love gets loose in your life for what only God wants to do, not only in you, but through you, then God can do a powerful thing, and he wants you to understand. You're a bullseye, and the enemy is many times going to take shots at you. The fiery darts of the wicked come, and they want to distract you from what God wants you to discover. But understand that successful people just keep on getting up. They just keep on going. We never consider failure to be permanent. Some people, it's three or four out the door. But you have to keep going and going and going. One of the men that I admire that did that, his name was Harlan. Harlan had a little restaurant. He came to the age of 65, decided to retire and live on Social Security. And all of a sudden, when he got his first Social Security check, he found out he wasn't so secure. $96 was his Social Security check. He thought, I'm never going to be able to live on this. So he decided, I'm going to take what I know and what I can do, and I'm going to market it and see what I can do with that. And the only thing he had going for him was from his little restaurant, he knew how to cook chicken. And he really knew how to cook chicken good. So he went everywhere trying to sell his recipe for chicken. He went 5 places, 10 places, 15 places. Everybody said no. He just kept going and going and going. He went 1,011 times and was told no. Matter of fact, people say, why do we want to buy your recipe? Matter of fact, he offered just to give it to them, and then he'd just get a percentage from it. And they said, no, we've got our own recipe. Why should we give you anything? But 1,012. The man said, okay, I'll try it. And that's the end of the story. That chicken flew the coop. And that chicken is known around the world now. And the man, Harlan Sanders, or better that we know as Colonel Sanders, if you go to China today, you'll find his chicken. You'll find chicken and coke in places that have never heard about Jesus Christ. I want you to know, if you won't quit, God will do something through you. By the way, I want to commend you as a congregation, as a church family. You not only care for 100 orphans in Cambodia, it's that 500,000 people that got saved, and more get saved all the time. We can't even keep up with it. It's Pastor Joe in Juarez, Mexico, where we can't go in there anymore, but we got a church built there before we were put out, and we can preach the gospel there. It's what's happening in Haiti. It's what's happening in 140 nations of the world today, where we're not focused on all their problems. We're focused on the person of Jesus Christ that can come in the midst of any kind of a problem and darkness, and he can bring his presence and bring light and love in a way that nobody else can do, and that's what the whole world needs, is that love that Jesus Christ has to give. And dear church, let's keep giving it. Let's keep doing that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I don't know that you'll have to go 1,011 times, but whatever it takes, let's do it. I believe the Holy Spirit of God wants you to understand. I'm going to wrap this up quick. I said I'm going to preach shorter, and I'm going to have to hurry now to get done in time. Have you ever gone out on a moonlit night and thought how beautiful it is? Now, I use this illustration Sunday night, but I want to reflect again. You know, when you go out and you see the moonlight and how beautiful it is, and just look at that and marvel, do you realize that moon is just a dead planet? It has absolutely nothing going for it. It has craters, but craters won't create light. The only thing that moon has going for it is the sun. It reflects the light off the sun. When you look and you see a new moon, you see a quarter moon, a wet moon, a dry moon, you see a half moon, you see a full moon, you see an eclipse. All of that has to do with one thing, how it's positioned with the sun. I want to say to you, I don't know what your problem is, but I want to promise you, you're not alone. And God will weep with you. He'll rejoice with you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you help. But it's not about your, don't get focused on your condition. Get focused on your position in Jesus Christ. Amen? See, that's what's important. How does that work? I'll close quickly with this. You're familiar with the story and really well in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha, he, the great man of God, with the anointing of Elijah on him. And the king of Syria is so ticked off at him because no matter what the king tries to do in battle, they know his battle plans because Elisha told him. He thinks he has a spy in his own army. But they finally tell him, no, that's it. That's not the deal. It's that prophet over there. He keeps knowing. He knows even what's going on in your bedchamber. In other words, you can't do anything without him knowing. He's got your number. And so the king of Syria, for this one man, he brings out the whole army. He gets the whole army. And they surround the city. His servant. Elisha's servant gets up in the morning. He turns on Fox News. And as he's listening to the Fox News, they said, "You are surrounded. The whole army's here to get you guys. Just two of you, but the whole army's here." The servant goes running to Elisha. "Oh, master, what are we going to do? The whole army's here." And I want you to see an amazing thing. And I believe it's something God's going to do to the church today. That starts with you and me. I believe it's something God so wants to do in every one of our hearts right now in the presence of the problems that we face today. When they're all there, he doesn't pray about the army. He doesn't pray about the apparent problem that's right there, that they're surrounded like the Apostle Paul talks. He prays for the servant that his eyes would be opened, so that he could see beyond the immediate. You see, the biggest hindrance to vision is sight, just what you can see right now. God wants to do more than that. He wants to give you a vision. All of a sudden, that young man's eyes were open, and he saw the host of heaven. He saw the fiery chariots, and suddenly he understood what Elisha was saying. There's more that are for us than there are against us. And I want to tell you, in what you face, there's more going for you than there is against you. You get focused right. Let the vision of what God wants to give you bring the victory he wants for your life. And let us start here today as we partake of this communion. Let God be the one that shows up and shows out and shows himself strong. And let there be strength in your heart that won't leave when this service is over. that you won't let the enemy take it away. And let God touch, as it says in the book of Ephesians, let him touch the eyes of your understanding so it's a real deal for you. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you touch our hearts and lives this day. And God, that there comes fresh revelation for everything you say, Lord. That this wouldn't be a passing event, but God, that we come to this table today to have our eyes open in a clear way, that we would truly understand your amazing grace, your embrace, Lord. The enemy takes a shot at everything we try to do, but I thank you for the power of your love and grace and mercy. And Lord, I pray if there's any soul here today that's gotten away or they've never come to your love, this would be their day of decision, I pray. If you're here and you need Christ as your Savior, if you need to come back to the Lord, if you're out of alignment and you need to alter your position, it's not about your condition, it's about your position in Christ. Say, Pastor, I need to correct that right now. And you just slip your hand up right where you're seated. It's just you yielding and saying, Lord, you just correct and perfect whatever needs to be in me. Yes, amen, son. Let that be in your heart deep today. Let it be so deep in your heart that God can perfect what he purposed you to be as a man of God. In Jesus' name, I speak that into your spirit. My sister, let that be real to you. My sister here, God lift you and love you and hold you. Help you as only he can do, and that you would know that love fresh and new, my sister back there, in Jesus' name, for what he'll do in you, that grace be upon your heart, upon your life, those broken pieces coming together in Jesus' name. How many of you say, Pastor, I've been out of position for quite some time, and I'm ready for a fresh alignment by the Spirit of the living God. God, align my attitude, and God, just come, touch me fresh and new for all you desire to do. If that's you, just slip your hands up. Just a sign of surrender. I've got my eyes closed too. It's between you and Jesus. Just let him, he can do it. Boy, I tell you what, 30 seconds with the King can change everything. Let it happen. Let it happen. In Jesus' name. Let it happen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. As we come today to partake of communion, we serve open communion for every person that knows and loves Jesus Christ. I hope you feel the freedom to enter right in. We come to this table not because of our worthiness, but because of his. So I'm going to ask those that will be helping to serve communion if you'd come at this time. Would you ask the blessing on the bread, please?
Father, we come before you and we thank you for the great love that you have for us.
Yes,
the
Lord.
The great love that looks beyond our faults and our failures and the times when we think we're snuffling by you.
Lord, I thank you that you've created a way for us to come and to be able to say,
yes,
Lord, forgive us. And we thank you today for the price that you paid so we can have that salvation. We ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Please hold your portion and we may partake together. All right. You know, in the last hours of our Lord's life, he was around the table with those that he loved so much. And you would think his words would be very measured of what he had to say, that this would be the most important time of all in the words that he would depart with. And as he's there with his disciples, he's done an amazing thing in the sense that he washed his feet so they would learn how to serve rather than just being served. But he says this, as my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now get this, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What a God. He's about to lay down and sacrifice his life. And what does he have to say? I want your joy to be full. I want my joy in you, and it will remain. And your joy will be full. The psalmist says it this way. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. I want to say to some of you hearts today, joy has become a little bit of a distant sound in your heart and in your home. God wants to bring it back. Why? Because joy is the strength of your salvation. And if you can get focused on joy, it's something the world can't take away from you because they can't give it to you. And when you understand that joy, unspeakable and full of glory, that speaks of his presence, God can not only help you, he can heal the hurt of your heart. And he can bring that joy back as a wonderful sound. And there's some of you today that as you partake today, that's where you need healing. You need healing of hurts that have happened that have stolen away that joy. And God wants to bring it back. And you won't even be able to explain it. You don't even have to figure it out with your head. You can just embrace it with your heart and thank God you have it. Thank God that he's faithful to give everything we have and that that joy shall remain and it shall be full in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. May we eat together. Would you hold your cup that we might partake together? It was in the garden that Jesus knelt down and said, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And you talk about problems and pressure and depression that could come on the human being and upon the flesh. He experienced that. The small veins in his face began to break. Sweat drops of blood began to come forth. And as he was willing to pay that price, he was being obedient because of the fact that he said, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what? Yours be done. And listen, he does all things well. There's been times that I've said, well, Lord, nevertheless, your will be done. And I was kind of like, I'm going to have to bite the bullet. You know, this is, I don't know. It's at that point that he can embrace you and help you and hold you. You know, I was saying in the service this morning that sometimes when we really go through a battle, and by the way, my bullseye joke was a bummer. In this first service, they really got it, but you folks, I didn't get it clear to you. But can I just say that the battle we go through, the devil will always try to convince you, you've done something wrong. God's mad at you, you've done something wrong, or somebody else did something. He always wants you to get upset. And listen, if you go hunting for something wrong in your life, it won't take long to find it. Amen? I can find something wrong with Jim anytime. That's why I need to keep running to Jesus. That's not what he's wanting you to do. He wants you to focus on him. And he wants you to know that if you'll come and repent, this GPS, God's repentant system of how do we know and God can help us. You see, we're the target of his love. One lady told me, she said, after the service this morning, she said, I kept thinking God was mad at me. And I must have done something wrong because of what I'm going through. And you know what I'm so glad for? That I could just pause, look her in the eye and say, listen, God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. What a difference. Amen? And that's the truth. How do you know that? Because he said, I'd rather die than live without you. And he did it. He can't leave us alone. He's here moving right now. He's speaking to hearts. He's put something in your soul that you won't understand. Maybe you'll wake up in the middle of the night and suddenly realize what God did during this communion service. There's something God's going to do that suddenly you realize there's a weight off of me that I was carrying around. I'm not the same as when I came in. You don't even you can't explain it with your head, because it happened in your heart. But it's real, because He is, and He wants to bless you. And the problem with problems is that sometimes we think finding out the problem is the solution, but we just need to come to Jesus. Amen. He's the one that can solve them. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb that solved the greatest problem of all, our sin problem. We were separated from our Father God, would have been lost for all of eternity without you, Jesus. Thank you for the love of God that's here today, that we can experience that forgiveness fresh and new for all you want to do. We bless you and thank you for what you've done in these moments together. In Jesus' name, may we drink together. And may we stand together. I want to encourage you to be here tonight. We're going to have praise and worship, a wonderful time to celebrate the life and love of our Lord. And men, could I ask you again, please get signed up. If you'd put on that connection sheet and drop that in a connection basket, we'd get that, or you can fill out the form. Just put your name there at the information booth. There's also the wristbands out there, men, to get those. Invite others to come. Let's prepare for a great time. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you tonight. And would you hug about 7 or 70 people? We'll go on our way. Love you.